Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me. What? Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way to be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Government attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth, with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the Cummins, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth a
penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Layelah Tawab, which means good night or good evening in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your brother, your host, your friend, as always, Tazapa. I'm joined this evening by Hasadiah in the building, y'all.
Sure.
I want to say, man, I hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody's in good spirits. Hope everybody had a good weekend, a good Shabbat, and a good Passover, man. Last week, we didn't get to broadcast. Blog Talk was having some technical issues, couldn't give my take on the Passover, the celebration of the Passover, not the actual Passover. The actual Passover is coming up this month, April 21st, but we celebrated it Easter Sunday, reason being that was a time of the year everybody could be off, man, and travel. Didn't have to go punch no clocks, everybody could be together. So that's why we celebrated it Easter Sunday. And, man, it was beautiful, 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 seeing all the brothers and sisters from around the country, man. We had brothers here from H-Town. It's always a delight to see them. And to see the fam, man. Got brothers and sisters that are expecting, which I didn't know, down at H-Town. Matter of fact, I think she might have had her baby. Did the sister have a baby yet? Because Locker Rob told me she was due any day.
As a Passover, no.
She still ain't dropped?
As a Passover Sunday, no.
Oh, wow. Okay. Shout out to you, Locker Rob, and congratulations, Dad. Yeah, the brothers from VA came down. Always a delight, a pleasure to see them. Brothers from Rochester, the brothers from Albuquerque came down. Brothers from Atlanta, brother from California, man, I forget his name. Good to see him, good to meet him. But, man, it was nice. It was nice, man. It always seems so short, you know, even though we was there from what? We got there about, what, 4? 5?
About 5, 15, 5:30.
5, and what time did we leave out of there?
About
11:30. That time always seemed like it goes so fast, man. Just enjoying each other's company, man, and catching up with brothers and sisters, man. So shout out to the 12 tribes that are scattered worldwide, man. All the brothers and sisters that came down, made the trip, man. I'm happy, ecstatic that the Most High blessed everybody with a safe passage down and back. I know Rochester had some hiccups on the way down, but nobody was hurt. They had a little fender bender. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was injured. And the Most High blessed them with another vehicle, man, to go back. Shout out to you too, Zarnala. Shout out to the brothers here in San Antonio. Shout out to the brothers in VA, the brothers in Rochester, brothers down in H-Town. Shout out to brothers in Atlanta, California, Canada, and shouts out to Kyle Cobb down in Guatemala. And, oh, yeah, and the brothers in Albuquerque, too. Great, man. Good to see them brothers. I haven't seen them in a minute. The brother Dariad and the brother Ari, I believe is his name, Dariad. Shouts out to you, brother, and may the Most High bless your transition. And shouts out to Mighty Mashaba, man, for hooking up the broadcast, man. Appreciate that, brother. So, y'all, and Mashaba, you might have to go back and change the title of the class because I don't really think I'm going to get into the topic. I got a lot of stuff I want to unpack, man. I mean, didn't get to get it in last week, man, so I have some stuff I've been sitting on. Anyway, if it's your first time tuning into the show, man, I do about an hour of news, current events before I get into the topic. This evening, I probably won't even make it to the topic, honestly, y'all. I got, like I said, I got a lot of stuff to unpack. But we are definitely the people of the book, the Hebrew Israelites. Hebrew being our language, Israelite being our nationality. And we prove this time and time again. We beat a dead horse that we are the people of the book through historical sources, through biblical sources, icons, you name it, we prove it, man. Because the Bible does say to prove all things. And if you can't prove it, it's not the truth, man. Truth is something that is proven. All right, y'all, so let's start it off. Let's get Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And it reads, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So this is the prayer we need to be sent up on the daily, y'all, so we can get the hell on. All right, let's get Psalms chapter 118, verse 24, please.
"This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it."
So good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it. Please believe me. All right, y'all. So the internet was going nuts the latter part of last month. And I don't know if y'all heard it, but Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, had the internet going nuts because he released some archives that they had in the Russian vault of black images, black icons, black biblical icons, man, and had people all online, man, Edomites, so-called white folks, losing their damn mind, going through changes, man, talking about Putin, what are you doing? A lot of people was coming on. He had this dude that claimed he was a professor or something, saying that Vladimir Putin was lying and all kind of mess, man. Anyway, I did my own little research. And, yeah, it's all over YouTube, and they got the videos, but I couldn't find any publication to authenticate what was on YouTube. Now, that's not saying that it didn't happen, because you know how they is with the media, and especially our media over here in the States. This media over here in the States be very biased and, centered around their agenda. And hell no, they didn't want this highly publicized. So I think that it actually did happen, but they're trying to cover it up like they always do. Which brings me to this article right here, y'all, from the Reuters. So read this. Tell them where you read from and tell them the date.
From Reuters.com, March 28, 2024. Updated 12 days ago. Fact check. Video does not show Putin saying Jesus was black.
You see how they do? They say that the video does not say is Putin not saying that Jesus is black. They saying it didn't happen. You know. You know how white folks is. You know how them Edomites be. We know.
A video of Russian President Vladimir Putin representing an Orthodox icon to military commanders in April 2023 is being misrepresented by posts online that say it shows him saying that Jesus was black.
Misrepresented. Read on.
An Instagram post shows the video with the text, Vladimir Putin reveals to the world a secret that European has been hiding from Africans for more than a millennium, that Jesus was black.
Now, you know why they do this, man. And of course you knew they would. You can say anything to Esau. You could talk about how this country was built on the backs of slaves. You can talk about how they killed off Native Americans in the billions, and I did say billions, and all of it is part of history, including even the statue that they have. I forget. They moved a statue, but it was a statue of Roosevelt on a horse. And he had Judah, so-called black people, a black slave on one side up under the horse, trailing the horse. And he had Gad, so-called Native American, on the other side of the horse. And this was an actual statue, y'all. I forgot where it was sitting at, but they here recently just moved the statue to hide their evidence. You know, as well as, matter of fact, I believe it came during that campaign where they were relocating and taking down all those Confederate statues and stuff. And you had our people ignorantly out there, and I say our people, black people loosely, out there ignorantly saying, yeah, take it down, take it down, take it down. Dummies. That's how they erase history. So now it looks like their hands are clean and they ain't did nothing. But back to my point, You can point all those things out with Esau. They'll deny it. They'll feel shame about it. But, you know, they'll just erase it right out of history books. Just like the new campaign they got. Well, it's not new. It's actually old. What's the terminology they give it? The curriculum, racial, when they're writing the history out of the school books. Come on, man. Man, what are they giving the name? I forgot the term for it. If y'all can remember the term for that, please hit me up. Oh, man. What's this? Don't get on my nerves.
It's been a while since I heard it.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though, right? Yeah, they got a whole term for it. But anyway, they're writing history out of the history book so they don't look bad. So they don't look like the villain. But anyway, they're cool with that to a certain extent because they can hide it, right? And you can say anything about them. And they just, you know, they won't flinch. You can be smarter than them. You can be richer than them. And, you know, you're still a nigga, basically. But the one thing they really, 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 really have a problem with is when you show them that Christ is black. When you show them that the people of the Bible are black people, man, they really have a psychological discomfort with paying honor, tribute to black people. They really have an issue with that. This is why when they go into our history, they only want to present us showing up on the shores of America in chains, showing up on the shores of America in chains, in the shores of the Caribbean in chains, South America, Central America, in chains. That's the only history they want to allocate for us and say that we, okay, y'all did this. Y'all was slaves. That's all y'all could be. It's some niggas. That's it. Niggas, wetbacks, and engines. That's the role that they reduced us to. But when you pin any history to us, especially ancient history, showing that we were black and we accomplished all these extraordinary things in the world, then they got to come out and disprove it. They got to say something is not the truth. Just like this article, when they say, oh, it didn't happen. Vladimir never said that. Like I said, I didn't find any receipts to substantiate the what's on YouTube, but what I did find was this. And this was part of the video that I saw. Read this and tell them where you're reading from.
From dailymail.co.uk.
Critical race theory. That's what they called it. I knew it was going to come to me. Yeah, critical race theory.
Priceless veil.
Now, listen to this. Tell them where you're reading from again.
From dailymail.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless veil of Veronica painting depicting the true face of Christ recovered after woman burgles mobile home and tries to sell it to church.
Now, what year was this article written in?
August 4th, 2011.
This is from 2011. And this is an actual icon that was found in a damn trailer park that this meth head tried to sell to a church. Read on.
Some might say it is an example of God moving in mysterious ways. A priceless painting of, supposedly, the true face of Jesus that has been missing for 150 years.
Now, stop. They said, of supposedly. You see, the true face of Christ. You see how, like I said, man, they really have psychological issues with saying black people are the people of the Bible. This is why us as Hebrew Israelites catch so much heat, man. And then the first thing they want to say when we bring out the color of Christ, which is in Revelations chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, and in the book of Daniel chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, I believe it is, the first thing they say is, y'all racist. Y'all are racist. Y'all hate white people. Get this all the time, y'all. All the time. And you know what that's code for? It's just like the small hats, the Jewish people. They have their code for dismissing people so people won't listen to them. Their code is anti-Semitic, though. That's their cold words. To the regular Edomite, their cold word is y'all racist. But you see how much of a problem they have with admitting the truth. Read this again.
Some might say it is an example of God moving in mysterious ways, a priceless painting of, supposedly, the true face of Jesus that had been missing for 150 years was recovered after a thief stole it from a trailer and tried to sell it to a church. The painting, which has turned up in Madisonville, Tennessee, is based on the Veil of Veronica, the cloth believed to have been used to wipe sweat off Jesus' face as he went to his crucifixion.
The Veil of Veronica. And you know what, y'all? I have never heard of this term given to this particular icon, but I've seen it. We had it, as a matter of fact, I think it's at the New School on the wall. The Russian icons that Mashaba had put together years back. But I never knew the name of it. But they found it in this dude's damn trailer. And y'all can't see it, and they don't really give a description, but it's a brother. It's the true depiction of Christ and what he looked like. He's got blood on him because this is from the crucifixion. Read on.
Priceless, a painting of Jesus based on the Veil of Veronica, a sweat cloth said to have had an imprint of his face, has been found after it was lost for 150 years ago. The piece fell into the hands of hapless thief Kelly Gormley, who decided the best place to sell a religious artifact was to a church.
White Dauphin.
It was owned by a 73-year-old man known only as Frosty, who kept it in a cloth bag inside a cupboard in his motor home.
Another Edomite. Clown said he got it as a gift years back, and it ends up in the damn bag in this trailer. And you know why? Like I said, they really have psychological issues with black people being in the Bible. This is why he did it. He didn't want nobody to know that. Bow down to a black man. I mean, they are. They will. But they don't even the thought of that. Just makes them toss and turn at night in their sleep. Read on.
He told VolunteerTV.com, I've lived here for 17 years. It's been there or in my bedroom ever since. Police say Gormley broke into the motorhome and stole the painting before trying to sell it off to St. Joseph the Worker Church in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Crackhead move. Meth head move, read.
But the church, realizing the significance of the painting, alerted police, who then arrested Gormley.
The church realized the what?
The significance of the painting.
They knew it was an authentic painting. They knew it wasn't a fake. They knew it wasn't something that somebody painted yesterday. They knew it was a real icon. Because they know the truth. They've been hiding it. What Vladimir Putin just brought out, man, this is not news to the Israelite community. We've been telling niggas this. And I say niggas because you have people on the video, us, saying that, okay, well, this has nothing to do with your salvation. Color doesn't matter. And that's the first thing our people, boot-licking, handkerchief-head niggas want to say when we bring color out is, color doesn't matter. What does that do? What does it have to do with your salvation? Everything. Everything. Hold this. Give me Matthew 1:21. People pick up the Bible and they just lose their mind. They lose all intellect of deductive reasoning, of reading comprehension. They lose all of it. Read.
Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son.
The she, being Christ's mother Mary. Read.
And thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Shall call his name Jesus. Why?
For he shall save his people.
Because he's going to save his people. That's what the name means. It means Savior. he's going to save his people. Did it say all people?
His people.
His, a singular possessive pronoun, man. But people forget what they've learned in elementary school, in middle school, in high school, when they pick up and start reading, just because they want so bad to be included in something that's exclusive. You know, you say, don't say all people. When this is the first book of the Gospels, the only section of the Bible that you religious folks will attempt to read, and not even that. And y'all just read right over this. He's come to save his people, not all people. His, meaning what? A nationality, y'all. We're going to look clean over this, though, huh? And then what we'll get is, okay, well, yeah, his people are the Jewish people, because he was a Jew, right? When there's so much information about how they are not the people of the book. And we don't get into that, too. Let's go back to the article.
Police say Gormley broke into the motor home and stole the painting before trying to sell it off to St. Joseph's the Worker Church in Madisonville, Tennessee. But the church, realizing the significance of the painting, alerted police, who then arrested Gormley. According to legend, a follower dabbed Jesus' face with the cloth as he bore his cross, imprinting his likeness onto it. The handful of paintings which were then based on it are therefore thought to be the actual likenesses of Jesus' face.
Icon. Is that same icon, like I said, we had it at the school, still got it at the school. It's in that Russian icon book. And I believe that book is pretty pricey right now. We have the book. We still got the book. Let's get Mark chapter 4, verse 22. This is what Christ said. And this is why a lot of people refer to history as his story. Because whoever is in power, they have the power to rewrite history and put their faces up as the heroes and dismiss themselves as the villains. All right, you got that?
Yes, sir. Mark 4:22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested.
This is what Christ said. There is nothing here that's not going to be manifest. So y'all putting this image up, this false image of Christ, which is Caesar Borgia, or Cesare Ray, what they call him?
Cesare Borgia.
Whatever you want to call him, who posed for the fake image of Christ. That ain't Christ, man. The truth is going to come out. This is how you know people don't read the Bible, man. Read it again.
For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad.
Everything's going to be manifest. Matter of fact, let's get it real quick since we're on the topic. Let's get Revelation chapter 1. Verse 13, please. Matter of fact, read verse 1 first.
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
So the revealing of Christ. That's what the word revelation means. Read.
Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
Jump down to verse 13, please.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man.
Christ.
Clothed with a garment down to the foot. And girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
So describing his clothing that he wore, read. Go ahead.
His head and his hairs were white like wool.
It says his hairs. So we got his description of what he was wearing. Now we get into his actual features. white woolly hair, y'all. That sounds like a black man to me. Read.
As white as snow.
As white as what? So it's giving, it gave you the color and the texture, read.
And his eyes were as a flame of fire.
Because he drank wine, read.
And his feet like unto fine brass.
Like unto what?
Fine brass.
Fine brass. Brass is the derivative of brown, man. So it's letting you know Christ had brown feet. He was a brown-complected man, but the description keeps going. Read.
As if they burned in a furnace.
If you burn anything in a furnace, it's going to turn what color, y'all? Black. You got to love the Bible, man. The Most High left us a breadcrumb, man, to go back and trace our roots, to really find out who we are, man. Brak Tayahu Bashem Yahushai. Blessed be the Most High, blessed be Christ, man, for leaving these breadcrumbs. Now, how do we know that this description is accurate? Let's get Matthew chapter 2 and verse 14. And y'all can cite Daniel, the 10th chapter, verse 5, too. It gives Daniel's revelation of what Christ looked like. Read this.
Matthew chapter 2,
verse 15. Verse 14.
And verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child.
Now, he is Joseph. So when Joseph arose, he took the young child, read.
And his mother by night and departed into Egypt.
He took Christ where?
Into Egypt.
Into Egypt. Read on.
And was there until the death of Herod.
Because Herod had put out a decree to kill all the children that was in Jerusalem that was 2 years and under. And Joseph, an angel in Joseph's dream, told him to take Christ, take baby Jesus, and take him down into Egypt to do what? To hide. To hide. And it says that Christ was there till when?
That it might be fulfilled.
No. Verse 15, the top.
And was there until the death of Herod.
And Christ was there till Herod died. Read.
That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son.
Now, ask yourself this question. If Christ was that fake depiction that all of us have grown up with, whether it was at your big mama's house on the wall, your tia's house on the wall, whoever houses at the wall with the blonde hair, blue eyes, a white boy looking like a hippie. If Christ really looked like that, then why would Joseph, Christ's daddy, take him into Egypt to hide around a bunch of black people? He was hiding from getting murdered. Why would he be in Egypt hiding out as a white boy? He would stick out like a sore thumb. But the truth of the fact of the matter is what we just read in Revelation, that he was a man of color. So where would you go as a man of color to hide out around other people of color so you can blend in? People don't put this together, though. Now, let's get Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to do some jumping, y'all. So we're going to the book of Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 15. Then we're going to jump. We're piecing this together. I ain't going to break this whole chapter down, but I'm going to do as much breaking down as I can do as the time will allow, because I want to move on to other articles. Read this.
Revelation 12, 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
All right, it says that this serpent cast out his mouth. Now, Revelations is a lot of allegory, y'all, a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelations. So let's get who this serpent is. Let's jump over to verse 3.
What chapter?
Revelation chapter 12, verse 3.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And behold, a great red dragon.
A great what?
Red dragon.
A great red dragon, read.
Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head.
So, seven horns, I'm sorry, red dragon having seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to jump up to verse 9.
Jump down to 9?
Yeah.
So 12 and 9.
12 and 9.
Okay. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called...
So it's still talking about this. It says this great red dragon from verse 12 and verse, chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, talks about this red dragon. Now, verse 9 says that this great dragon was cast out. That old what?
That old serpent.
That old serpent. What serpent? Jump, read verse 15 again.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth.
So this same serpent. So the serpent in verse 15, verse 9, and verse 3 are all the same. I hope y'all see that. Same serpent. Except for in verse 3, he's referred to as a red dragon. Verse 9, he's called a red dragon. He's called an old serpent. He's called a devil. He's called Satan. Verse 15, he's called serpent. But we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3 and read that again.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, a great red dragon.
So this red dragon is the serpent. Same thing. Y'all see this, right? Read on.
Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head.
Now, remember verse 3. We're going to go back to it, but we're going to put verse 3 and Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1 together. All right? Read. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. I need you to stay with me.
Revelation 13 and 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea.
So this beast is rising out of the sea. Read.
Having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns.
And so this beast is rising out of the sea, has seven heads and ten horns, just like in Revelation chapter 12. In verse 3, it says that this dragon has seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. The same thing. I hope y'all see this. So we're finding out that this beast that is talking about in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1 is the red dragon that is talking about in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 2. Also, the serpent. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, and Revelation chapter 15. All of them are the same. I hope y'all are seeing this. All right. Now, I want you to go from Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1 to Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 18. Piecing it all together, y'all.
Revelation 13, 18. Here is wisdom.
Now, he says, this is wisdom. Read.
Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast.
The count the number of who?
The beast.
Now, remember, the beast, from the very first verse of this chapter, Revelation 13, verse 1, I'm going to read it again. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. So this beast in Revelation chapter 13 is the same dragon in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3. I'm going to read it. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. It's the same beast. Y'all see this, right? So Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, he's a red dragon. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, it calls him a beast. Now, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 18, read that again, please, from the top.
Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast.
So the number of the beast, and remember, this beast is the red dragon. He's also known as the serpent. Read.
For it is the number of a man.
So we find out that this beast, this serpent, is a what?
A man.
It's a man. It's the man. It's using a lot of symbolism. It's using a lot of animals and stuff. But no, it's talking about an actual man. Read.
And his number is 666.
666. This is where they get the 666 from, y'all. When it says 600, 3 score, so a score is 20. So you put three of those 20s together, you got what? You got 60. 666, this is where it comes from. But it's letting us know that this beast, also known as the serpent, is a man. Now, the reason I want to bring all of this out, let's go back to Revelations. Chapter 12, and I want you to read verse 15 again.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth.
So this serpent, which we found out is a man, because this serpent is also the beast, same person, same deity. This serpent is also the beast. We found out is a man. So this serpent or this man cast out of his mouth what?
Water to the woman.
The water is talking about all the lies that this man has cast out of his mouth against the woman, and the woman being us, the children of Israel. The Most High calls us his woman. Matter of fact, let me get that. Let's get Isaiah 43, I believe it is, in verse 1. That's a better one. That's a good one, too, but like chapter 3. Hold on, let me get that. Read that, Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for, too. Matter of fact, let's go straight to the point. Let's get Isaiah chapter 3 and verse, I think it's verse, like verse 12. I'm going straight to the point with this one. No, that's not it. Wait a minute. It's Jeremiah 3 and 12. Let me check. Hold on, y'all. Bear with me. Don't let your minds wander off too much. Come on. Yes, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Read that.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord.
The children of Israel, he called us backsliding. Read.
For I am married unto you.
He said what?
I am married unto you.
He said he's married unto us. We're the Most High's woman. Now let's go back to Revelation. Let's put it together. Revelation 12 and verse 15 again.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood.
So this serpent, once again, is a man. It says he cast out of his mouth water. So these are the lies he cast out of his mouth. Read.
As a flood after the woman.
The woman being us, the children of Israel, who the Most High said he's married to. We're his woman. And he cast out all these lies. What lies, you ask? The false depiction of Christ. the false depiction of the disciples on the Last Supper, the false depictions of Adam and Eve, the lie that they've been telling that the small hats over in the land of Israel or the children of God and they not. All those lies that everybody can be saved, Christ died for everybody, all those lies. The lie now, they're coming out and said Vladimir Putin didn't say this. Damage control. They're trying to say that the people in the Bible ain't black people, that Christ ain't black. Those lies, the lies they've been telling for centuries. And when we bring the truth out, what they say about us? Y'all racist. That lie. We ain't. Hold on for a second. The water. Read verse 15 again.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman.
Once again, the woman being us, being the Israelites. Give me Isaiah 54, verse 5. Once again, dealing with the woman, y'all. Israel being the woman. The water, Michelle.
Isaiah 54, verse 5.
Read.
For thy maker is thine husband.
I'm talking to the children of Israel. Thy maker, the Most High, is the one created us. He's the one chose us to be his people. It says, he is our husband. We're the Most High's woman. Give me Jeremiah 6 and 2.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 2.
Read.
I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman.
So he says he's likened the daughters of Zion. Zion is an actual mountain that was in our homeland. And it's synonymous with us, the people, the children of Israel. The Most High said he's likened us to a woman. Y'all see this, right? Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Hey, read verse 15 again.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth.
Now, who is the serpent once again? It's a man. It's a man. Not a snake. It's an actual man. Read.
Water as a flood.
Uh-huh.
After the woman.
After us. After the Israelites. These are all the lies that they've been telling. Christ is white. The disciples is white. Everybody in the Bible is white. Christ died for everybody. Read.
That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
And our people have been carried away with the flood of lies that they've been telling for centuries. Why y'all think they put pictures up in the first place? You ever heard the saying that a picture is worth a thousand words? They know this. Sprite had a saying back in the day. Their campaign for their soda was image is everything. They know this. In any product that any company markets, they know the imagery behind their product is going to help sell their product. They know this. Then, you know, the thing that they also know is that niggas don't read. First of all, they wouldn't allow us to read for forever. And then when they finally allowed us to read, guess what they start doing? They start putting the pictures in the book. The big pictures, and it'd be a sentence under the picture, because they don't want you to read. Why do you think the literacy rates are so low amongst our people? Our people don't read. Why do you think they got to put a device in your child's hand? It's to keep your child from doing what? Reading. Now reading is a punishment. Oh, I got to read. My kids do it. You're going through changes because they got to read. But look at all the things that we're missing by not reading. Look at how illiterate we stay by not reading. They'll tell you ignorance is bliss. No, the hell it ain't. Ignorance is danger. That's what it is. What you don't know, what they say, what you don't know will hurt you. Going back to Revelation, y'all. Revelation 12 and verse 15.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
And our people have been carried away with these lies. This is why our people are the strongest people that come against us. When we bring out the truth about Christ being black, about the disciples being black, our people are the first ones to come out and say, well, color don't matter. But color did matter when y'all had that image up for centuries at your big mama house, at your granny's house, at your GG house. You thought that was Christ. But now we show you that, no, Christ is a black man. The disciples were black men. Now you got a problem. Because that Stockholm syndrome that's set in your mind, and it's so strong to where you won't even listen to truth right now. You just listen to the doctrine, the iconoclasm that you've been indoctrinated with. Read.
And the earth helped the woman.
What did the earth do?
Help the woman.
By way of what? These icons. These icons. And y'all see, man, as we dig deeper into the history, everywhere we went, me and the Israelites, we left pictures of ourselves. We left icons. And y'all know how we are. Every event we want to mark with a what? A selfie? Oh, let me get a picture. Let me get a picture and mark this event. This is just how we are as a people. We have them damn picture albums. This is us. Everywhere we went, we would make sure that we let people know that we was there. Hell, even in our graffiti, we write what? Tommy was here. Tyrone was here. Ricky was here. We let people know we was there. And everywhere we went, that's why we got the Russian icons. That's why we got books like Nature Knows No Color Line. The brother got all those crests in there, the black crests, the swarthy crests, as they call them. The word swarthy means black. What does he got? Sex and Race, Volume 1, Volume 2. All those books has got us depicted in history. This is the earth coming out and helping the woman. Reading on.
And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth.
Swallowed up all the lies and brought out what? The truth. The truth. What did this serpent do? Jump up to verse 9.
And the great dragon was cast.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Nah, I ain't going to get that one. Let's get this right here. So in light of all that information and Vladimir Putin, what he's been bringing out, trip off of this article right here, y'all. Tell them where you read from.
From JNS.org, Jewish now, News Syndicate.
Jewish News Syndicate. This is from one of their publications. Read.
Assad, no evidence 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust.
Read.
The United States supported the rise of Nazism in Germany prior to World War II, says the Syrian dictator.
A Syrian, and they call him a dictator. Why are they putting dirt on his name? Because he's telling the truth. This Syrian president said that, man, nah, those numbers are fabricated. This ain't the first time I heard this either. He said that 6 million Jews in a hog, he said those numbers are fabricated. Then he goes on to let you know that the United States sponsored Nazism. Read.
December 21st, 2023. Memory. The Jews who came to Palestine are pagan Khazar converts.
What did he say?
The Jews who came to Palestine are pagan Khazar converts.
Come on, you got to read that one more again.
The Jews who came to Palestine are pagan Khazar converts.
Hold on. Wow. They're really tripping. I can't believe this. He just told y'all that the small hats, the Jewish people, are pagan Khazar converts. They converted to Judaism. They are not the people of the book. Read.
Not the children of Israel.
They are what?
Not the children of Israel.
This is a white man saying this. Read.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said in a December 18th speech.
Now, this is from December. Of what year?
2023.
Read. Here recently. Read.
Posted online by the official Syrian Arab News Agency and translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute. The Syrian dictator went on to state there is no evidence that 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust and that the Nazis did not employ any special method of torture or killing for Jews, who he said were killed just like other victims of World War II.
You know what he's saying, basically? They ain't special. What happened to y'all was not special. It's not out of the ordinary. You know?
The Holocaust was politicized and used as a false pretext to transfer the Jews from Europe to Palestine.
To transfer them from where?
From Europe to Palestine.
Read.
Said Assad. He also claimed that America was the one who supported the rise of the Nazis in Germany between the world wars.
Facts. Go back and do your research on IBM. They were one of the main contributors to Nazism. Read.
Most of us do not know that the rise of Nazism between the two world wars happened with American support. The question on everybody's mind is, how is it that despite the German collapse and European constraints, Nazism was allowed to rise and build an army?
Right. Scratch your head on that one. Y'all go back and watch them. And what's the name of them? Netflix has some great documentaries on World War II. But, man, how did they let them rise up like that so fast? Y'all know Hitler, he took all of France, took the whole country. It's like overnight. And he had marched clean through England, and he was about to take Britain. If the U.S. didn't jump in, he was about to take Britain. What they call it, the Blitzkrieg?
Blitzkrieg.
His army, and you go back and do some research, you find out that his army, they were taking methamphetamines, speed. They was taking speed. That's how they were able to conquer as fast as they was conquering, because they didn't sleep. They was rolling. But how was he allowed to march halfway through Europe like that? And he not only took parts of Europe, he took their colonial states that they had. This dude was all in Africa and in the Middle East, so-called Middle East, taking all that land too. You get a chance, y'all, go and watch that documentary on World War II they got on Netflix. It's a good one. Forget the name of it. Read on.
It was done with American support, money, loans, and investments, he said. While nobody denies there were Holocausts, he continues, the singling out of the Jewish victims of World War II was proof of political motive.
He said he denied it happened. Yeah, it happened, but it was politicized. This is what he's saying. And this is why they call him at the beginning of this article a dictator, throwing dirt on his name for bringing out the truth, which goes back to Revelation chapter 12. in verse 13 where it says that the earth helped the woman. What Christ said, what is hid is going to be revealed. You can't hide this stuff. It's going to come out. Your dirt's going to come out in the wash. Is that it? Read.
True, there were concentration camps. But what shows you that this is a politicized issue and is not a humanitarian issue and is not real is how come we talk about the 6 million and not the 26 million Soviets who were killed in that war.
And he is right. The Soviets, man, how many say it was that they lost?
26
million. 26 million. Stalingrad. Look it up. That battle, man, whew. You know that the Nazis almost wiped out Russia as a nation? Did y'all know that? That's how hard Hitler was rolling. But the Russians, they citizens took up arms. I'm talking about men, women, children to fight against them. It was bad, man. And what he's saying is true. He's like, ain't nobody talking about that. Read on.
Are those 6 million more precious?
What do you say?
Are those 6 million more precious?
Read.
The same acts were everywhere. There was no method of torture or killing specific to the Jews. The Nazis used the same method everywhere.
No. That I got to disagree with because those scientific experiments that they were doing led to chemotherapy. I don't know if y'all knew this, but chemotherapy is actually mustard gas that the Nazis used against the small hats in those concentration camps. And a lot of the scientific discoveries that they have now in the medical field comes from them experimenting on the small heads. So I have to disagree with them on that point. But read on.
However, this issue was politicized in order to falsify the truth and later to prepare for the transfer of the Jews from Europe to other areas, or rather to Palestine.
Mm.
The Jews who came to Palestine are Khazar Jews.
What does he say?
Khazar Jews.
Those are the ones that came to Palestine. Read on.
From the east of the Caspian Sea. They were pagans who converted to Judaism in the 8th century.
They were what?
Pagans.
Pagans. This is why they always pull out their Talmud or their Kabbalah, which mixed the scriptures with a bunch of damn witchcraft. This is why they be sucking little boys' penises off talking about they circumcising them. They're pagans. This is why they be putting up Christmas trees talking about, this is the Hanukkah tree. Because they pagans anyway. They are really a no people that have stole our identity. Read.
They immigrated to Europe. And from there came to this region. They have nothing to do whatever with the ancient people of Israel.
Come on, man. Read that again.
They have nothing to do whatever with the ancient people of Israel.
That's it. Message.
Maybe y'all listen to a white man. Because y'all sure as hell ain't been listening to us. Is that it? Let's get Ezekiel chapter 7. And I'm going to say this too, man. For the brothers that's been teaching this for decades, don't be discouraged. Don't be upset because our people are listening to white people now, but we've been saying this for forever and they ain't been listening to y'all. Don't be discouraged, man. Just be happy that the truth is coming out. Be happy that the Most High is revealing it now. and hopefully wake some more of us up so we can get the hell up out of here. Read this. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 1, then we're going to jump down to verse 19.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel.
To who?
The land of Israel.
Who was in the land at this time? It was us. He was talking to us. Read.
An end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land.
So the Most High was putting us on notice that he was bringing an end to us being in the land. Now jump down to verse 19.
They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed.
Us. We're going to cast our silver, our gold in the street. It's going to be worthless. Read.
Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them.
Read.
In the day of the wrath of the Lord.
Because our people thought that their money, our money, was going to save us from the wrath of the Most High. No different than now with these cross-teaching niggas. They think money's going to save us. Read.
They shall not satisfy their souls.
Read.
Neither fill their bowels.
Read.
Because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity.
Our wealth is the stumbling block of our iniquity. Always has been. Like the scriptures tell us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Read.
As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the images of their abomination and of their detestable things therein.
So it's talking about the temple, all the beautiful things the Most High gave us. We turn it into wickedness. Read.
Therefore have I set it far from them.
Read on.
And I will give it into the hands of the strangers.
So the Most High is letting us know here, putting us on notice, he's going to give our land into the hand of the strangers, the small hats. Read.
For a prey.
For what?
A prey.
And not just the land, us as a prey. This is why in the music industry, they prey on us, these rap niggas that keep making songs about destroying our communities, about hoeing out our women, about doing drugs. That nigga 21 Savage, man, I can't stand him. Damn, Red Rum. What are you talking about, nigga? Ignorant as hell. And our people falling for a hook, line, and sinker, the youth. That's all they want to listen to. Ignorant music. That has no contact, no substance to it. It's just talking about us being defiled and defiling our people. That's all I'm talking about. Hold on for a second, y'all. Sorry about this, y'all. Where we at? You should be in Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 19.
I'm going to start again.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Is Ezekiel 7 in there?
We're in verse 21.
Ezekiel 7, 21. And I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey.
So the Most High gave the land for a prey, gave us for a prey, like I was going into how the small hats own the music industry. And this is why they'd be quick to give us a contract if we're talking of a music contract, if we're talking about defiling ourselves and defiling our people. And the kids are listening, man. So they're being influenced. And you got one generation that's defiled, inspiring in another generation to defile them themselves. They know what they're doing, man. But like I said, they're the ones that own the music industry. So we're the prey, and they're the hunter. And they've been hunting us. And not just in the music game, in the entertainment game, sports, all of that. They run everything. You know?
And to the wicked of the earth for a spoil.
And to the wicked of the earth for what?
A spoil.
And they have spoiled us. So now we can't be fit for the purpose that the Most High intended us to be fit for, his purpose. We're polluted. Read.
And they shall pollute it.
Read.
My face will I turn also from them.
And the Most High said he's going to turn his face away from us to where he ain't even dealing with us no more. Read.
And they shall pollute my secret place.
Read.
For the robbers shall enter into it and defile it.
So robbers entered into the secret place and defile it, that being the temple. Every nation has ransacked the temple, ran up in the temple, and took those precious things out of the temple. This is why the brother Jeremiah had to hide the Ark of the Covenant. Read.
Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes.
Read.
And the city is full of violence.
It's the Most High talking about us. And we still this way, man, killing each other, stealing from one another, putting our women, hoeing our women out, hoeing ourselves out. Read.
Wherefore, I will bring the worst of the heathen.
What did Most High say he's going to do?
I will bring the worst of the heathen.
Most High said he ain't bring just any old regular old nation. That's what the word heathen means, or any old regular old Gentiles. He said, I'm going to bring the worst of them. The worst. And Amalek is the worst. The small hats are the worst of the heathen. Read.
And they shall possess their houses.
And this is why they're in the land now. Read.
I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease.
Our pride to cease. Read.
And their holy places shall be defiled.
No doubt, like they are currently this day. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. The Most High told us this several times. Moses tried to tell us this way back in the day. Yep.
They have moved me to jealousy.
This is the Most High speaking. He said, they moved him to jealousy. We moved him to jealousy. Read.
With that which is not God.
Read.
They have provoked me to anger with their vanity.
And remember, the Most High told us he's a jealous God, right? And he said, we moved him to jealousy with those that are not gods. Read.
And I will move them to jealousy.
And the Most High is paying us back. What a man sows shall also reap. Read.
With those which are not a people.
And now we're jealous of the non-people. Who are the non-people? The people that have no heritage, no culture, no soul. They ass is empty. Excuse my French, y'all. I'm talking about the so-called white man. And y'all can tell me, man, what is culture? I'll wait. What is white heritage? Still waiting. Because everything you're going to name, they got from somebody else. Guaranteed. they are really a no people, man. They don't have a heritage. They don't have a culture. This is why they steal everybody else's stuff. The Most High told us this. I hope y'all understand, man. So, y'all, let me get this other article. I'm moving on. I'm going to switch up. Hold on for just a second, y'all. Because I'm going to move some stuff around. Hold on. I'll be right back. All right, y'all. My bad, y'all. I had to move some stuff around. So, y'all, I'm doubling down with I had brought out a couple weeks back about Haiti, y'all. So I'm doubling down on that. The first article we're going to get is from NPR. It says the greatest heist in history. You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. All right, tell them where you're reading from and give them the date of the article, too.
From NPR.org.
And I'm sorry, we're about to do a lot of reading, y'all. Read.
The greatest heist in history, how Haiti was forced to pay reparations for freedom, dated October 5th, 2021.
Did y'all know that? Read.
In recent weeks, thousands of refugees from Haiti have arrived at the U.S.-Mexico border, desperate for a better life. Most left Haiti years ago after a 2010 earthquake ravaged what was already one of the most dismal economies in the world. They had originally settled in places like Chile, but the politics of the region have made them feel unwelcome, discriminated against, and fearful of the future. The Haitian refugees hope the United States, under President Biden, would offer them a lifeline.
Now listen to this.
They were wrong.
What?
They were wrong.
Your president, y'all president, and I'm talking about y'all, I'm talking about our people, because they be running. I'm a Democrat. Don't y'all understand that it doesn't matter who's in office? Nothing's going to benefit you because this place is not set up for you. But the president y'all voted for, oh, Biden. Senile Joe, dementia having Joe, read.
The Biden administration has been sending thousands back to Haiti.
Sending them back. And this is an old article. What year is this from?
2011.
Read.
Even though Haiti is a disaster zone and many of the refugees fled it years ago.
But they call us racist. This is a white president sending black people back to a third world country, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. But we're racist, though. But this ain't our people, ignorant as hell. Read.
Some of those the U.S. government forcibly sent to Haiti are kids who have never lived there.
They're what?
Kids who have never lived there.
They sending them back, but they giving Ukraine money. And welcoming Ukrainian refugees left and right to the States. But they send the black people, those black people, send them back. Send them to Haiti. Send them back to where they came from. Read.
Ambassador Daniel Foote, who was appointed by President Biden as the U.S. Special Envoy to Haiti in July, resigned in protest against his administration's policy. I will not be associated with the United States' inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees.
He had a conscience. He said, I'm not going to be complicit with this mess. He resigned and then called the U.S. out on their racism. Read.
Foote wrote in his resignation letter, the Haiti that refugees are being sent back to is a nation in crisis. With its unlucky coordinates on the map and its poor infrastructure, Haiti has been devastated by multiple hurricanes and earthquakes in recent years, including a 7.2 magnitude earthquake in August. In July, Haiti's president, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated by Colombian mercenaries, some of whom had received U.S. military training.
Right. It was basically the CIA. They shot and killed him, and I believe his wife was wounded in the process. And I forgot where she fled to, but she was still fearful of her life because she knew who it was that shot them, because she had got shot too, I believe. Reed?
A Florida-based security company reportedly connected whoever wanted Moïse killed with the mercenaries, but the details of why Moïse was killed and who directed the mercenaries are still murky. What is clear, however, is that Moïse's assassination continues Haiti's centuries-long political instability. In 2015, the World Bank concluded that Haiti's biggest political problem is that a social contract is missing between the state and its citizens.
The World Bank. When y'all hear them in the IMF, y'all know that they're destabilizing the government. Because what they do is they come in and they give governments these loans with these high-ass interest rates that basically puts them in debt forever, in perpetuity. Reed?
Ambassador Foote, in his resignation letter, blasted the United States and other nations for contributing to this problem for the umpteenth time, unabashedly backing Moise's unelected replacement.
So y'all named the problem, but y'all are the contributors to the problem. Once again, man, Esau, villain and hero, all in the same narrative. Read.
Ariel Henry. Henry was appointed prime minister by Moise in July and took on the additional role of president after Moise's assassination. Haiti's chief prosecutor said he found evidence linking Henry to the president's killing, and Henry promptly fired him. Some Haitian authorities have asked Henry to step down and pleaded with the international community to stop supporting him. This cycle of international political interventions in Haiti has consistently produced catastrophic results, Foote wrote. Haiti is one of the poorest nations in the world, and rich countries have their fingerprints all over the nation's stunted development. The United States worked to isolate a newly independent Haiti during the early 19th century and violently occupied the island nation for 19 years.
And we're going to get into that also.
In the early 20th century. While the U.S. officially left Haiti in 1934, it continued to control Haiti's public finances until 1947.
It continued to control Haiti's finances. They had their money actually coming from New York. That New York was basically controlling the whole country of Haiti's finances. Reed?
Siphoning away around 40% of Haiti's national income to service debt repayments to the U.S. and France.
To the U.S. and who?
And France.
White nations against this dark country. Reed?
Much of this debt to France was the legacy of what the University of Virginia scholar Marlene Dott calls the greatest heist in history.
Reed?
Surrounded by French gunboats, a newly independent Haiti was forced to pay its slaveholders reparations.
So, y'all, did y'all hear this? They forced the Haitian people to pay the slaveholders reparations. The Haitians won. They got their liberation. But they had to pay their oppressor. I ain't heard of that. I've never heard of that. If this is not racism, I don't know what is. Ree?
You read that correctly. It was the former slaves of Haiti, not the French slaveholders, who were forced to pay reparations. Haitians compensated their oppressors and their oppressors' descendants for the privilege of being free. It took Haiti more than a century to pay the reparation debt off.
That's 100 years, y'all. Once again, if this is not racism, I don't know what is. If this is not white supremacy, I don't know what is. Read.
The tragic hope of revolutionary Haiti. Haiti won its independence from France in 1804, and it was almost immediately made a pariah state by world powers. It was an independent, black-led nation.
Independent, black-led nation. The worst thing they could have in the world is them niggas to be self-sufficient. Read.
Created by slaves who had cast aside their chains and fought their oppressors for their freedom during a time when white-led nations were enforcing brutal, racist systems of exploitation around the world. Haiti, then known as Saint-Domingue, had been the crown jewel of the French Empire. It was the most lucrative colony in the whole world. French planters forced African slaves to produce sugar, coffee, and other cash crops for the global market.
It says it was the most lucrative colony in the whole world. So you wonder why Haiti's always in the news. You wonder why they always got foreigners there. Read.
The system seemed to work well. That is, until the French and American revolutions helped to inspire in 1791 what became the world's largest and most successful slave revolt. All odds, the slaves won. Former slaves sent slaveholders scurrying to France and America, and Haitians successfully fought back subsequent efforts to re-enslave them. Haiti was the first nation to permanently ban slavery. But as a nation of freed black slaves, Haiti was a threat to the existing world order. President Thomas Jefferson worked to isolate Haiti.
Who?
Thomas Jefferson.
Ain't he the second president? After George Washington, I believe he is the second president. Second, third, one of them. But him. You know, the same one that owned slaves, that fathered slaves, slave children? Him. White guy. What did he do?
President Thomas Jefferson worked to isolate Haiti diplomatically and strangle it economically, fearing that the success of Haiti would inspire slave revolts back home. With the invention and spread of the cotton gin, slavery was becoming much more lucrative, and at the very same time, a free Haiti was coming into existence. And slaveholders in the United States and other countries clung to and expanded the inhumane means of production. Haitian success was perceived as a threat to this system for decades, and the United States didn't officially recognize Haiti until 1862, as slavery began being abolished.
So they tried to keep it on the low that the Haitians had got their liberation because they didn't want them, their slaves over here in the States to revolt. And we know there was a couple of unsuccessful revolts over here in the States. The more well-known one was, what's the brother's name? Oh, man, come on, talk about come on, y'all, I made a movie about him. Lobby, y'all, help me out. Nat Turner, Turner Revolt. All right, read the next one.
During Haiti's critical period of development, France intervened, even more directly than the U.S., to thwart its success. In July 1825, the French King Charles X sent an armed flotilla of warships to Haiti with the message that the young nation would have to pay France 150 million francs.
How much?
150 million francs.
Read.
To secure its independence or suffer the consequences. That sum was 10 times the amount the United States had paid France in the Louisiana Purchase, which had doubled the size of the U.S. Almost literally at gunpoint, Haiti caved to France's demands in order to secure its independence. The amount was too much for the young nation to pay outright, and so it had to take out loans with hefty interest rates from a French bank.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next century...
Ain't that a conflict of interest? I owe y'all money, and I got to go to y'all bank to get a loan to repay that money.
With high
interest rates. With high interest rates. Come on, man. Make that make sense. Read.
Over the next century, Haiti paid French slaveholders...
Listen to this.
...and their descendants the equivalent...
It says the French slaveholders and their descendants. Y'all hear this? Their descendants. You know, the people that came after them, the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. And I'm saying this because what do white folks say when you bring up slavery?
I didn't have slaves.
I ain't no slaves. It wasn't me, but your ancestors did, and you benefited from it. You still holding the bag. What are you talking about? Read.
Over the next century, Haiti paid French slaveholders and their descendants the equivalent of between $20 and $30 billion in today's dollars. It took Haiti 122 years to pay it off. Professor Marlene Dott writes it severely damaged the newly independent country's ability to prosper.
So y'all mouth is probably open about that. But let me hit y'all with this one. Read this one. Tell them where you read from.
From the 2001 to 2009.state.gov, U.S. Department of State Archives. U.S. invasion and occupation of Haiti, 1915 through 1934.
That's what they were talking about in the article we just read. So the U.S., they occupied Haiti. Read.
Under interventionist policies of the early 20th century, President Woodrow Wilson sent the United States Marines into Haiti to restore order and maintain political and economic stability in the Caribbean after the assassination of the Haitian president in July of 1915.
You see how the U.S. has always been involved, how the U.S. has been involved? And all these white folks has been involved with the destruction of Haiti since its conception. Read.
This occupation continued until 1934.
Read on.
The United States government had been interested in Haiti for decades prior to its occupation as a potential naval base for the United States and other imperialist powers.
So they didn't want to put a naval base there. Because it's a strategic location, just like Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, is a strategic location. And I don't know if the Russians, I guess I got to do research, but the Russians used to have nukes on the island of Cuba. You remember during the Cold War, y'all? This is what the Cold War was about. Who could own and colonialize the most of the world? Either the U.S. or Russia. So they've been trying to get a military base set up in Haiti for that same purpose, you know.
Stability was of great interest to the United States diplomatic and defense officials who feared instability might result in foreign rule of Haiti. In 1868, President Andrew Johnson suggested the annexation of the island of Hispaniola, made up of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. To secure a U.S. defensive and economic stake in the West Indies. From 1889 to 1891, Secretary of State James Blaine unsuccessfully sought a lease of Mole St. Nicholas, a city on Haiti's northern coast strategically located for a naval base.
See? Now, that ain't it. There's more. Let's go to another article. This one. Read this. Tell me where you're reading from.
From worldfuturefund.org. Bill Clinton's invasion of Haiti in 1994.
Billy Clint. another white president, Democrat, that our people was running to the polls voting for, all excited. No, he rolled like a brother. He played a saxophone. He is, he that. Racist, like the rest of them. Read.
Lies, life, and death. How Clinton's free trade reforms enriched his Arkansas agribusiness friends while destroying the structure of agriculture in one of the world's countries.
Read.
Agricultural disaster in Haiti. Clinton destroys structure of Haitian rice farming. Since his invasion in 1994, Clinton has completely destroyed the structure of Haitian agriculture. In 1995, he forced the nation to drop tariffs on rice imported from America.
So what he did was, what a tariff is, y'all, is basically a tax that you have to pay for importing your goods. Hey, close the door. It's a tax you have to pay for importing your goods into another country. So Clinton made Haiti lower their taxes so they could start shipping in U.S. rice as opposed to using their own rice. Because remember, the other article that we read shows us that agriculture was heavy in Haiti, and rice was one of their main agricultural products. Read.
Haiti dropped its import tariffs on rice 50% to 3%. Clinton claimed this move would help Haiti jump into the industrial era, yet even before Clinton took this action, experts were well aware of the consequences.
Now, you see, the the excuse that he used was, we're helping them out, like they always do. This is what Esau does, man. Matter of fact, let me get this. Keep reading. Let me find the scripture.
Yet even before Clinton took this action, experts were well aware of the consequences. An export-driven trade and investment policy has the potential to relentlessly squeeze the domestic rice farmer.
Mm-hmm.
This farmer will be forced to adapt, or she or he will disappear, quoted in Lisa McGowan, 1997. After adopting Clinton's policies, Haiti became the fourth largest importer of rice from the U.S., even though they were the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the imported rice came from Clinton's home state in Arkansas.
It came from where?
Clinton's home state in Arkansas.
They benefited. Hope y'all see this. Once again, racist. Read.
Today, Haiti is the fifth largest importer of American rice in the world, even though their population is just 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 1970s, Haiti imported only 19% of its food. When Haiti shut out the global market.
So only 19% of its food was imported. This means that they were pretty much a self-sufficient nation. But what he did, Billy Clinton, was he disabled that country by making them be dependent on foreign goods. I'm telling you, man, this is how they destabilize nations. But then they get mad when these nations, these same nations they destabilize, their people are fleeing from the mess they created and trying to come here. And then you won't even let them come here, man. This is Esau's trick bag. But when you bring it up, you're racist. You're anti-American. Read on.
When Haiti shut out the global markets, they were self-sufficient and managed to feed a majority of their population while producing trade surpluses. Yet now, Haiti imports over 80% of its rice from the U.S. Due to the new trade agreement, one ton of Haitian rice is now $300 more expensive than American rice on the Haitian market.
And I was watching this interview on YouTube, I forget the sister's name, but she's Haitian. She's actually a doctor. But she said that during this time period, the diabetes rate in Haiti rose from them eating this American rice. You don't say. Rita?
This has devastated Haiti's, excuse me, Haiti's ability to feed itself and be sufficient. Haiti has 700,000 hectares of underutilized arable land, but still suffers from chronic trade deficits and food insecurity as a result of Clinton's policies. This policy was especially harmful for Haitians, considering that rice was one of their main crops.
See how they broke them down? Now, remember, it mentioned undeveloped land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get, matter of fact, yeah, we can double back to that. Let's get this right here. Read that.
From the NewYorkTimes.com, Haiti's allure for U.S. business, by Clyde H. Farnsworth, dated June
17th, 1984. Yeah. No, don't read that. Read the next one.
Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and new industrial park on the road to the airport, Dale G. Lacamy, reached an agreement recently for the production of 400 dozen women's slits a week, and he was pleased. So pleased that he decided to treat himself to a weekend at Haiti's Club Med. The youthful Mr. Lacamy is overseas operations manager for Kelwood International, a St. Louis manufacturer of women's clothing. Most of Kelwood's garments are sewn together abroad, and one of Mr. Lockamy's tasks is to find the best site for the operation.
So this is where this is what they're using the land for. They basically put in an industrial complex. I'm trying to read down so I can show everybody who sponsored this. This might not be the right article. I think this is the right one. Hold on, y'all. Bear with me. It might be this one. Yeah, read this one. I think this is the one.
From BlackAgendaReport.com, Bill and Hillary Clinton, friends of Haiti? From dated December the 5th, 2012, by Marty Goodman. The Clintons' crimes against Haiti go back two decades.
So we already got Billy Clint with the rice. Now we're going to read about his beard, Hillary. Read.
Making Bill singularly unsuitable to act as United Nations envoy to Haiti. Bill's friendly relations with Haiti, with Haiti's current president, Michel Martelly, who is linked to Duvalier era thugs and their kin is well known. When he gave money to the farmer in the U.S. to grow rice and to compete with Haitian rice, he is not the friend of Haiti.
He ain't the friend of Haiti, but how the hell he end up being the ambassador to Haiti? And guess who appointed him to be the U.S. ambassador to Haiti? Yep, you guessed it. Yo boy Obama, who niggas was running to vote for just because he was black. He ain't even a nigga. He's a real African American. He's from Kenya. He ain't even your people, but y'all fools voted for him. And you see how much he don't like y'all. He appointed Billy Clint, who had just basically bankrupt and starved Haiti to death with his homeboy's rice from Arkansas, He appointed him to be the U.S. ambassador to Haiti. Ain't that something? Read.
Bill Clinton and Obama's Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, are called the Friends of Haiti. Oh, really? After the 2010 earthquake in Haiti, President Obama appointed Bill Clinton as U.S. envoy.
Told you.
Partnering with the Katrina and Iraq criminal George Bush, Jr., a supporter of the 2004 CIA-backed military coup, which overthrew the elected president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide. After the earthquake, Bill headed relief agencies while excluding Haitians themselves.
So they talk about the coup that they did to get Aristide out of office. That's what it's talking about. Read.
The stated theme of the Clinton-Bush effort to build back better. Today, Bill is the UN envoy and acknowledged guiding hand behind international relief efforts. Both Bill and Hillary are promoters of the U.S.-dominated World Bank low-wage sweatshop plan for Haiti. Angrily,
sweatshop plan. Now, y'all, we already read a piece of that other article, and that article was old from 1987, I believe. We're talking about the St. Louis manufacturer dude that made women's garments. But this was the new plan for Haiti. They were going to have a sweatshop district with U.S. companies so they could get their labor did for free. And they could not pay taxes. And I don't know if y'all heard about this, but the Panama Papers, I think the trial is going on right now where they're bringing U.S. companies as well as other companies from around the world, bringing them up on charges for low wages and not paying taxes and hiding their assets so they won't pay taxes on them. Rita?
Both Bill and Hillary are promoters of the U.S.-dominated World Bank low-wage sweatshop plan for Haiti, angrily dubbed the American Plan by Haitians. Last year, Hillary signed an agreement committing $124 million tax dollars to the building of the Caracol Sweatshop Assembly Park in the north of Haiti.
Did you hear what she said? Tax dollars. Guess whose taxes? U.S. tax money. Our tax money pay for this. See how they gangsters, man. They some straight gangsters. Read.
The agreement includes massive tax breaks for sweatshop bosses. Workers there are making the starvation wage of about $3.50 a day.
$3.50 a day. A day, not an hour, a day. Read.
On October 22nd, 2012, Bill and Hillary were on hand for the inaugural ceremony in Caracol. Also, there was Haitian President Michel Martelly, a pro-coup right-winger linked to Duvalier Aristide. Hillary praised Martelly as Haiti's chief dreamer and believer. Martelly once again declared Haiti open for business.
Open for business.
The sweatshop park was launched with $3 million from the Clinton-Bush Haiti Fund set up by the two Obama appointees to spearhead so-called earthquake relief fundraising.
Earthquake relief fundraising. So we know where all the money from the earthquake went now. It went for them to build that industrial complex. That sweatshop complex they got going on over there. Read.
One park occupant, Say A Trading, is a large textile company cited by the AFL-CIO for acts of violence and intimidation against workers in Guatemala.
Now, hold on. Let me get this last one, y'all. There's more. So you asked about the latest thing involving Haiti and how they talk about these gangs that took over the country and all this other stuff. So this is why all the recent stuff that's happening. Read this. Tell me what you're reading for.
From Reuters.com, a decade after UN-linked cholera outbreak. Haitians demand justice.
So 10 years after they had a cholera outbreak in Haiti. Now listen to this, Reed.
By Anastasia Maloney, dated October 22nd, 2020. Thompson.
So this was what, 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. Reed?
Thomson Reuters Foundation, in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, it is another more deadly disease that keeps 20-year-old Haitian Louvin Jean up at night, cholera. Jean was about to celebrate his 11th birthday in 2011 when his father was struck with cholera and died, age 49. Leaving five children behind. Jean's mother, who was also sickened by the waterborne disease that ravaged Haiti a decade ago, survived but still suffers from cramps and blurred vision. My father was the sole provider for the house, said Jean, along with two of his siblings had to skip school because his mother could no longer afford to send them. His body wasn't returned to the family for the funeral. Haiti was cholera-free until October 2010, when infected sewage from the United Nations peacekeepers sent to the Caribbean nation after a devastating earthquake contaminated a river.
Yes, y'all heard that correctly. So they have the earthquake in 2010. The United Nations sends relief there. And they end up creating this cholera issue, this cholera problem, which is contaminated water. Reed?
Since then, about 10,000 Haitians have died of the disease.
10,000 Haitians die from a disease that, from what I researched, is pretty easy to cure. It's pretty easy to fix. Reed?
Which can cause profuse diarrhea and fluid loss that can kill within hours. More than 800,000 have fallen ill. A UN-appointed panel concluded in 2011 that fecal contamination by a UN peacekeeper's camp was a likely cause of the epidemic.
So they had poop and other bodily excrements in their water that polluted the water, that created this cholera situation from the camp that they had set up. Reed?
But said it was not the fault of or deliberate action of a group or individual. The UN has not accepted legal responsibility for the outbreak.
Oh, we didn't do it. Reed?
Which human rights lawyers and former officials have said would have likely meant the organization paying large amounts of compensation to affected individuals.
So how might I prevent not paying Haiti the money that I owe them? How about I destabilize their country more than I've ever destabilized it by removing yet another president from the country, like what's going on right now? And this is why the people are revolting and trying to take their country back so they can be self-sufficient, without any interventions from any other nation. But the media paints them as, oh, they're thugs. They're killing people. They're raping people. They're eating. They're cannibalism. They're saying all this negative stuff. Why? Because they don't want to pay what they owe. Reed?
Former Secretary General Ban Ki-moon apologized to Haiti for the organization's role in 2016, saying it had a moral responsibility to help affected Haitians. The UN also pledged to eliminate cholera from the Caribbean nation, set up a $400 million trust fund to help victims and live up to its moral responsibility to those most directly affected and provide material assistance. Lawsuits. A decade later, cholera victims say they are still waiting for the UN to honor many of those commitments.
And they still ain't got paid. 10 years later. Like I said, you wonder why this stuff is jumping off? This is why. Now, let's get Ezra, chapter 4, verse 1. When I was reading, doing all this research, y'all, this is what reminded me of. And we know that these brothers and sisters, these are the Levites. These are the priests, man. We brought this out several times. So Ezra chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 1. You got it?
No.
Right before Nehemiah.
Okay, got it.
Read.
Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel.
No, I'm not saying that these brothers and sisters are building the temple. I'm not even saying that they're righteous. But what I'm saying is this is what this story reminded me of. Us coming together to put something together to be self-sufficient, because that's what was going on here. This was Ezra, the brother Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, and other brothers that went back to Jerusalem to build a second temple. And these are the things that ended up happening. Read.
Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God, as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Ashur.
So you get these other nations trying to come out. Let us help you out. Let us hook y'all up. We worship y'all God. We wanna help. We see the stuff that y'all are going through. We want to contribute. Sound familiar? This is what the U.S. said to the Haitian people when they said, let's help y'all out with this earthquake situation. And then in return, they give them cholera. Read.
Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, I'm sorry.
Now remember, too, it says that these were their adversaries, our adversaries. That's why the scripture says, never trust thy enemies. Read.
Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Ashur, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us.
He said what?
Ye have nothing to do with us.
He knew they was Catholic. Like, man, y'all get the hell up out of here. Y'all got nothing to do with us. We know that y'all have no love for us. Read.
To build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us.
We will be self-sufficient. Read.
Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building.
And this, and when you read about it, they messed with us day and night to the point we had to have a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other.
Wow. Hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days.
And they hired counselors, more nations to come against us all the days, read.
Of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
So this went on for years. This went on for years, just like we're reading about the trials and tribulations of our brothers and sisters on the island of Haiti, also known, the whole island of Hispaniola, but the side Haiti. So that's our time right there, y'all. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get to the class. I figured I was not, but I had a lot to unpack, y'all. I hope y'all were edified. Y'all got some understanding from the class. If y'all got any questions about the class or any other topic, y'all can hit me up at 314-482-9110. The Water Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast. The Water for everybody that's listening in. And until next week, Lord willing, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
And with that, y'all, we're going to say shalom.